time, the Ramah calls Ashkenaz custom in Chutz La'aretz, that we don't duchen every day. We only duchen Yantif, even Yantif we don't duchen all the time, we only duchen Ed Mosaf. So this custom is a very well-known custom, a very, very difficult minute to understand where in the world this comes from, what's it based on. So what mitigates the halakhic problem with this minute is that something that we've said already in the past, that the mitzvah deraisa of Birkas Kohanim only kicks in after somebody's called up to duchen. So there's no kriya, there's no afraza, so then you're not technically mevatel the mitzvah. So it's true that the other 350 days a year, so all the Ashkenazi Kohanim don't get the mitzvah, they're not mekayem the mitzvah of duchening, but at least they're not mevatel the mitzvah. So it's not so terrible, but still af bichein, still a dog, ton bior. What exactly this is based on? So one of the most famous answers is given by the Ramah himself. The Ramah suggests that maybe it's based on the fact that the halach is that a kohen when he duches is supposed to be in the state of simcha, and a chutzlars which is miserable. Why are we miserable chutzlars? Because we're having so much trouble making a parnasa. The implication is that those in Eretz Yisrael have an easy parnasa, either that or they're just still not making a parnasa, not even miserable about it anymore. But in the chutzlars, so we're having so much troubles with parnasa, so therefore we're not in a joyous enough mood to duchen all the time. And then the Ramah goes on to explain, so Imkein, when Yantif time comes, so we're very, very happy in Yantif, so why don't we duchen in Shacharis also? So the Ramah says that even Shacharis we're not so happy. We're only happy in Musaf when, number one, is Yantif, and we know that there's a good meal around the court. Shacharis, we still have to sit in Shul for a long time, the Ramah is going to be Drasha, it's going to take a little Chris Thursday, it's going to take a long time, so we're not so thrilled yet. Only when it comes up at the end of davening in Musaf, then we get ourselves a little cheery, so then we can risk duchening in the state of Simcha. That's what the Ramah presents in the beginning. Obviously, it's a very difficult reason to understand. And there are other reasons that are suggested as well. But before we go on to some of the other reasons, so this idea that duchening is linked to simcha to such an extent, so this we find other potential minhagim that are also rooted in this idea. Ramah quotes a custom that existed in some places. We don't have this. I've never seen this custom today. That a person who single doesn't to duchen. Mar says in Yavamas, called shor b'lo isha, shor b'lo simcha. A person who's not married, so they're not the simcha. So I'm all in favor of that. Wife won't grab it up. It's a good idea. Once you get married, those who are not married yet, we'll get married. But to say that you're not going to duchen because you're not married, so we assume that that's not correct. So we do follow the din deraisa that we have even single kohanim being kohanim duchening. Then it's based on this idea that someone has to be in the state of simcha in order to duchen. That the halacha speaks about whether an ovel, whether it's appropriate for an ovel to duchen or not. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the din that an ovel is not supposed to duchen because he's not in the state of simcha, but the Shulchan Aruch writes that din only applies if it's within the shiva shiva avelos. If it's within the shiva, that's the mamash ramsha in the state of simcha. After that, so then he can go ahead and he can duchen. And the Ramah quotes another minhag, and no, that Kol Zman that he's in the state of avelos, so he wouldn't duchen. How long is he in the state of avelos for? So Kol Zman that he's not supposed to be in the state of simcha. So how long is that? So Mashiach Krov, and that's for the whole shloshim. And for Avi Imo, that's for the entire year. That's what the din is, says in my Kot, that an Avil for the entire year is not supposed to be Nichas Lebeis HaNishtu Lebeis HaSimcha. He's not supposed to be in an exuberant state of Simcha. So for during that entire year, the Ramah holds a minhag that is not supposed to do. Do we follow this minhag b'zman hazeh? So the Chazanish writes that in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is not to follow this minhag. In Eretz Yisrael, they assume you follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch that for the first week of Shiva you don't duchen. After that, so then he should be duchening in Chutz La'aretz. So it appears that that is the minhag, and that's what the Ramah quotes. The Shavur seems to follow. It's hard for me to give you an absolute ironclad answer to this question. Any kohanim here? Oh, anyone notice? Notice what the status of the available? The available not duchen. You ever see it?
I'm just
going to
ask you.
You never paid attention. No, I'm not talking about the Beisel, I'm talking about the whole year of Avelos.
So what the Chazanish writes that in Eretz Yisrael, they make no difference between any Krovim. Any Krovim is just 1 week.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, Chazanish
writes.
It probably makes a lot of sense in Eretz Yisrael, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's not such a big simple duchen. It's just a yadav duchen thing.
At least in my, sparring, they go up. Like, even in the year that
yeah, because the Shulchan Aruch says that. Talk about with the Ramah, with the Ashkenazi communities. So this is a davar amud laperek at my shul for the first time. So somebody, this kohen shul just got up from sitting shiva. So he asked me, "Yeah, the shiva should he duchen or not?" So he said, "I don't know. First time we had an shul. Our shul is a fairly young shul, young in terms of how many years we've been around, and young in terms of the clientele is fairly young. So this is the first time. So I told him we have to figure out what the minhag is. So we have to be kaveh with the minhag is. So he told me he's not going to be in the Rosh Hashanah. He said, "Good, give me another 2 weeks to figure out what the minhag is." Okay. I don't know. So again, so the idea that a kohen is supposed to be in a state of simcha, so that we accept the question is what exactly the ramifications of that are. So we have the first possible ramifications of the kohen abduchening in chutz laretz, all the time except for Yom Tov. And the second possibility of the kohen who is single. And the third possibility, the kohen who is in aval. But there are other reasons that are given as to why we don't duchen all the time in chutz laretz. So there is a fascinating suggestion that's given by Rav Sturbrach in Sefer Ban Muzmanim. But he says that's a throwback that we spoke a little bit about before, that duchening is supposed to be derech tefillah. The Gemara learns that from Sukkot, that duchening accompanied the avodas hakorbanos, and therefore, when we don't have korbanos, we have tefillahs. So Chazal mesaken that duchening has to take place after the context of tefillah. This was part of the answer that we spoke about the kasha a couple of weeks ago about how do we let Yisraelim give brachas kohanim. Isn't that a violation of Amor Mahem? So Shavur quoted a possibility that maybe since it's not derech tefillah, so maybe that's not considered to be a violation of the Yisr. The only problem is that din that has to be derech tefillah, so that's not really a din in a Torah probably, it's only a din in the Rabbanon. So we also saw this idea of the Netziv. We spoke about the idea of a coin being motzi, another coin of Yichas Kodim, so the Netziv also linked this idea to Yichas Tefillah, that this is, you can't say regular din mishmekar be tefillah, so you can't say shmekar be bechus kohanim. So there is some kind of a connection between hilchos tefillah and hilchos bechus kohanim. So Sturmbach says that maybe that's the reason why we don't duchen anymore outside of musav and yontif. Why is that? He says that in order for it to be a tefillah, it's got to be chazaras hashach. It's got to be the tefillah satzibur. So tefillah satzibur is only chal when you have 10 people who actually are answering amen to the chazan. So he said, in the good old days, everybody paid special careful attention to the chazan. Everyone's listening to the chazan answering amen. The man is there, but the chazan gets up to daven, so most people aren't even listening. So therefore, it's not chal on the din of chazaras hashach altogether. That's what already the Pesukim quote in Ruchas Tefillah. That's a big problem when you have a chazan who gets up to daven, chazaras hashach, and nobody's listening. So some Pesukim suggest that the chazan should have in mind that maybe it's a tefillah sedava, that Allah tzad that nobody's listening to his chazaras hashach, so maybe it's still be a tefillah sedava. The problem is that doesn't work for Shabbos or for Yom Tov. You can't bring tefillah sedava in those days. So problems. Okay, fine. So Sturmbach says maybe that's where the reason came. That's why the minhag was to cut out the Nevedas Kohanim, because we don't have an official form of chazaras hashach. So apparently on Yom Tov people are more careful. People are paying more attention. So why dafka Muslim over Shachris? Maybe there are more people in Shul. So we have more people in Shul Muslim times. So you have a better chance of 10 people actually listening. I don't know, I'm not sure what this far is. But again, that's a whole different ballgame, different story than what the Ramah suggested. And there is a...
What?
So the Frumos are probably listening to the Rosh
Hashanah. It's the German custom to Dichma Shachris.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Again, we have the standard reason that's presented in the Ramah, then we have this unique idea that added onto Rav Sturmbach. This idea that Chazaras Hashatz and Brachas Kohanim are so linked to one another, so this is part of the minigan. Many yeshivas in Lithuania used to have the custom that they didn't say a full Chazaras Hashatz. They used to have a mincha, they used to have what we call a kedusha. The question is, what was that minig based on? And whatever that minig was based on, how come in Shacharis, so everybody used to have a full Chazaras Hashatz for Shacharis? So they asked Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky what the source of that custom was. So Rabbi Yaakov explained that the reason for the minig in the yeshivas in Litha to say a half kedusha, half Chazaras Hashatz, was not because of the book of Torah, but because of the half a dama, it's not an excuse. So he said that apparently they held in the yeshivas that the Takanas Lacham of Chazaras Hashatz was only instituted in a place where there are no bikiyim. The original role of Chazaras Hashatz was to be built to the people who don't know how to daven. So even Bizmanazay, we never knows how to daven, but Kozeh, we still keep the Takana. But the original Takana was only made Lachosh in bikiyim. So apparently the Rabbanim lit the held that in yeshivas, so that was a separate entity. The yeshivas were always bikiyim, people sitting and learning Meshmazim all day, so they knew how to daven. So apparently they held that they were never included in the Takana in the first place. So they asked Rabbi Yaakov Ben Kain, so why do you have Chazaras Hashatz at Shacharis? So he said, you really shouldn't have Chazaras Hashatz at Shacharis. The only reason why you have to have Chazaras Hashatz at Shacharis is because you have to say, look, you want to say Brichas Kodim, even though we're not doing a real Brichas Kodim, we want to mimic Brichas Kodim. So if we're not going to say Chazaras Hashatz, we're going to stick in look, you want to say, we're going to put it back in Kedusha. So you have to have a whole Chazaras Hashatz for Shacharis just to say that. If that's the svara, so then by, let's say, the Titus Tzibur, Mincha, when we say Elokeinu Kiyom Aseinu, normally we don't say that by Mincha, because by Mincha you would never duchen, because you're not allowed to duchen, you have to drink. If you So we're afraid the Kohanim may be drunk a little bit too much. So on the Titus Tibor, Mikra is in your lot of Duchen at Mincha. So whether we do or not, it's a different story, but at least we sell a Kenafil Vaseinu. So according to Yaakov's Cheshman, it would come out that even in those places that are Makel to have a Kedush of a Mincha, on the Titus Tibor, they shouldn't have a Kedush of a Mincha, because otherwise you lose the opportunity to sell a Kenafil Vaseinu. So again, so you see this idea that Tefillah and Chazkonim go hand in hand to such an extent that maybe that's the source for the custom that we have not to Duchen on the regular day. Then there's another reason that's suggested, and that appears, I'm not mistaken, I think in the Maharil, that it's linked to another question about Kohanim, whether it's appropriate for Kohanim to duchen when they're Tomei. So obviously we're all Tomei, but let's say a person is Tomei to Maskeri, so is that appropriate for him to duchen? So the Gemara, the Mishnayos, in the third Berakhah Brachos, speak about what's called Takanas Ezra, that Ezra made a Takana, that you're not allowed to daven, not allowed to say brachas, not allowed to learn, not do anything, if you just became a Balkari before you go to the mikvah. So the Gemara says, in the days of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, they did away with that takana of Ezra. We don't follow that anymore. What do you mean they did away with the takana of Ezra? It's a real thing. What do you mean they did away with it? Was the Beis Din, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, greater than the Beis Din of Ezra? So that was a big machlokes of Rishonim, how to solve that problem. How could we just machavek the whole takana of Ezra? As man as that, if Ezra's basin was clearly greater than Rabbi Beseira. So Tosis gives the popular reason, but Tosis writes that the Takana was Lopashta Barav Yisrael, that was never really accepted by all of Klai Yisrael in the first place. So whenever you have a Takana, it's Lopashta Barav Yisrael, so then easy come, easy go. Then a later basin can just knock it out just like that. So the Meiri quotes a fascinating answer in the third of Brachas, a totally different answer. The Meiri answers that the Takana of Ezra was not really a Takana mid Rabban, it was really a Din Deraisa. Ezra dash in the Pasuk, because the Gemara actually quotes a Pasuk for the Kodesh of Ezra. The Pasuk says that the Torah compares the teaching of Torah to standing at Har Sinai. So, Ma Har Sinai, Valkyrie is a Rosser, so to teaching of Torah, Valkyrie is also as well. So, most of the Rishonim learned that's only an Asmach, that's only a Din Derab. The whole Takana says it was only a Din, so the Pasuk wasn't the real Drasha. So the Meiri says, no, it was a real Drasha Derais. And Ezra was of the opinion that that's a Mamash a Din with Derais, that you have to be Torah before you learn Torah. You have to go to Mikvah before you learn Torah. So, how could Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira get rid of that? So the Meiri explains, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira disagreed with that Drasha. He thought that Drasha, that's not what the Pasuk meant. So, how could he go up against Ezra if Ezra was greater than him? So the Rambam writes, in the Hidavachos Mamam, in the name of the Rishami, that when do we have a rule that you need a Beis Din to be greater than the previous Beis Din to change the previous Din? That's only in the realm of Dinim Derabbanan. So one Beis Din makes a Takana, so a later Beis Din wants to change the Takana, you have to be greater. But let's say it's not in the realm of Dinim Derabbanan, so it's the realm of Deraisas. It's one Beis Din Darshan the Kavachim in this way, one Beis Din learned the Hekesh this way, one Beis Din came up with the following Svara with Deraisas, it didn't be like this. Then 100 years later, another Beis Din comes along and says, no, the Kavachim has a Pircha. The Hekesh doesn't mean that. Mevatzin was wrong. The Svara is Fakir. So then, that's what we say in Pasha Shoftim. Ein lecha el shevet shebi amecha. The Torah says you go to the Dayanim in your generation. You don't go to the Dayanim in the last generation. So the Rambam goes to Yishami that says that how do you resolve those two dinim? On the one hand, you go to the Beis in your generation. On the other hand, ein Beis in yochel avatul devar Beis in chaveira. You can go to b'chacham aminyan. So the Rambam quotes to Yishami. The answer is that one's talking about dinim derabbanon, one's talking about dinim deraisa. You want to create a din derabbanon. So then Beis Din gives a certain koach to a Din Derabbanan, and you want to uproot that, you have to go up against the authority of the Beis Din, so you have to be greater than them. When it comes to Din Deraisa, so everyone has a free hand. Anyone knows how to learn. So Beis Din in one generation says one thing, Beis Din in another generation could change that Din. So the Meiri says that that's what was happening in the days of Ezra also. Ezra wasn't a Din Derabbanan, Ezra was a Din Deraisa, and in the later days, they came to the realization that that's not really what the Pasuk means. There really is no such Din Deraisa. So the Mahayas slice it with the Taisa Pshat, the Meiri's Pshat, as bad as that, we don't observe Takanas Ezra. The Rishonim write that's still considered to be a Midas Chasidus. It's still considered to be a good thing. The Rambam writes that he used to try to observe Takanas Ezra all the time. So the Poskim write, it's a nice thing to do. That's what all the Chasidim try to observe, because they want to fulfill the Midas Chasidus. But people who are not so into this Midas Chasidus, so they don't. So some Poskim write that even though we're very, very lenient about the Takanas Ezra, but to come and do Birchas Kohanim, so that's not right. To go get Birchas Kohanim in the state of the incoming from Miscarry, that's not appropriate. My eye, why is that? So you could argue that Birchas Kohanim is a similar to avoid a little bit. You can make a case to say that you have to be at a higher level of Tara. So there were some Poskim who explained that was the reason why they stopped doing Birchas Kohanim every day, because it was impossible to observe Tara all the time. The same way the Gemara says that ultimately the reason why they did away with the Takanas Ezra, the way Tosfos reads the Gemara, they did away with the Takanas Ezra was because Lo Pashta Barov Yisrael. Why was it lo pasha b'Rav Yisrael? Why was it so hard to observe? So the Gemara explains that if you're going to really observe Takanas Ezra properly, it's going to lead to the Beit HaTorah, it's going to lead to the Beit HaPerivah, because people are not going to want to be with their wives as much, because it's going to be such a hassle to go to the mikvah. And if they were with their wives, it's going to be a hassle to go to the mikvah, so they're not going to come to say to the next day, because they're going to say the Tameh. It's going to have so many negative ramifications, so it becomes very, very difficult to observe. So once Takanas Ezra fell out of use, once people weren't going to the mikvah all the time, so the Rabbanim felt that it's not appropriate to duchen every day either, because everybody's tummy. So we're only going to advocate duchening at a time when we can be certain that everybody's tar. When can we be certain that everybody's tar? Not on a weekday, not on the Shabbos necessarily, but on a yontif, then we can be certain that everybody's tar. Why are we so certain that everybody's tar on the yontif? Because there's a din of chayav adam mutar asur v'regel. The person has to be mutar themselves before Yontif. Is the Gemara says the Ferish Masech Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara comments on the pasuk, "Uvaniv losam lo sigol." You're not allowed to touch a dead animal, an animal that died without shechita. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? You're not allowed to touch a dead animal? You're allowed to touch a dead body. Only a kohen's not allowed to touch a dead body. So a kohen's allowed to touch a dead animal. The Yisrael for sure is allowed to touch a dead animal." One time I got a shayla. A kohen called me. He wanted to know his dog died. He wanted to know whether he's allowed to bury the dog. Whether there's a problem of a kohen being becoming tummy to misnevelus. So I explained to him that it's okay. You're allowed to bury the dead dog. You shouldn't laugh at this, because there was a tshuva that was written in the days of the Gaonim that apparently didn't say this. It said that there's an issa for a kohen to become tummy to misnevelus as well. So it's absurd. It's not true. There's no such thing. It was written in the days of Gaonim. So when somebody asked the Rav, "What do you do with this tshuva that was written in the days of the Gaonim that says that you're not allowed to, kohen's not allowed to touch a nevela?" So the Rav thought from it, and he said, "The Goyin who wrote that Shuvah was an Abba Arts." He said, "Just because something came from the days of the Goyin doesn't mean it was written by Rav Haigon, it was written by Rav Sadigon. Somebody wrote a Shuvah, he didn't know how to learn." So somebody wrote, a lot of things are written to Bismarck as there, but people don't know how to learn. So it was a mistake. What? No, I'm saying only if it's an Avela. If it's a Shchuta, then it's not Tamil. It's an Avela. Again, the whole din is a joke. So it's late Tamil. So there's no such halacha. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, so what does the loss of losigo mean? What it means is that the yomtif, you're not allowed to become tami, or you have to become tami, because the chayvam the taras of the regel. So that's what some of the early Acharonim write, and not really, not mistaken, writes. That's the reason why they stopped duchening all year long. They only insisted on duchening on yomtif, because in yomtif, everyone's going to become tar anyway. So the question is, is that true?
Does that mean you're not allowed to task this on yomtif?
Yes, according to that, it would mean that the person shouldn't be with his wife, the night of yomtif. That's why. We'll get to that in a second. So the question, is that really true? I just said the chayav adam taras of a regel is really true, so that's a big machlokes of Rishonim, whether that din applies to his zman hazeh. So the Rambam writes, and it doesn't even apply to his zman hazeh, the Rambam writes that that din of chayav adam taras of a regel just means because you're going a lila regel, you're going to eat karbanas, so if you're going to bring your karbanas, how are you going to become tamid? So the Rambam writes, it's not a din of deiris, it's not like that yomtiv is mechayav to become tar. A lila regel is a mechayav to become tar. If you're not going a lila regel, but zman hazeh, there's no such din. So the Rosh in the Sefer Yuma disagrees with that. The Rosh quotes in the name of Rav Sadigon, that Rav Sadigon held when you go to the mikvah Erev Yom Kippur, the men go to make Erev Yom Kippur, you should make a bracha. So the Rosh writes, he doesn't understand why you're making a bracha. What mitzvah are you doing? There's no source in the Gemara for going to make Erev Yom Kippur. So the Rosh writes, maybe Rav Sadigon meant because chayav adam mutar asur b'regel. Maybe that's the reason why. So the Rosh says that's not a bad suggestion, but he doesn't think it's right. Why? Because he doesn't think we're really fulfilling that mitzvah b'zman hazeh, because we're not becoming tar anyway, because we're lacking Eifa Paraduma. So we're not gonna get the trick done anyway. We're just gonna get rid of certain low level tumors, but we're still tummy. So the Rosh says that in theory there should be a din of Chayav al Matatz Regel with Bizman Hazeh. It's not linked to Mikdash like the Rambam says, but practically speaking, we're not really gonna be able to perform the din. So Bein Lefi HaRambam, Bein Lefi HaRosh, it's very hard to understand that that's the reason why people weren't tuchening all year long. Tuchening was only on Yom Tov, because every Jew under the sun, every kohen was going to mikvah Erev Yom Tov. Everyone was going to mikvah. Most people still don't go to mikvah Erev Yom Tov. I had the Gemara says chayav al mataras b'regel. It's not true. It's not a chi of gom. Either it's not a chi because there's no base in mikdash, or it's not a chi of gom b'zman hazeh because we're not going to become Torah anyway. So to say that was the source of the minig in order to make sure that the person starts, that's hard, very, very hard to believe. So again, so we have a lot of different reasons thrown around, but Marils and Ramos and Sternbruchs and each of the reasons have kashas. It's very, very hard to understand what any of this is based on.
According to that Hesper, why would it be only Musaf?
Yeah, that's also Pel, right? Why Dafka Musaf? Yeah, we might as well talk about Reish Achas. It's very, very difficult to understand. There is a minhag that the Mishnah Berurah quotes and outright rejects. Shmuel writes that there was a minig in some places in Europe that when Yontif would coincide with Shabbos, so they didn't, they wouldn't duchen. Be a Yontif, they still wouldn't duchen. So the Mishnah Berurah says it doesn't make any sense. Like Mechatei, so why should you do that? So they quote, I think in the Ma'aril, if I'm not mistaken, and the Ma'aril itself quotes, others quote the name of Ma'aril, that the source for this minhag is linked to what we just said before, that the whole reason why we're not duchening all year long is because we're afraid of Tumas Keri, and then at Erev Yom Tov we finally become Tahor, but now if Friday night coincides with Yom Tov night, so there's a mitzvah ona, Shapir Yipidita Bita, the Gemara says in Subas, that the ona shall tabidach come Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. Maybe it should be moral for whatever the sugyas of ona right now, but at least on Friday night, so you're going to tell a person, Nebuch the poor kind, he finally went to the mikveh, they're going to tell him he can't be with his wife, so that's not a good idea. So he's with his wife, now he wants to duchen, he can't let him duchen because he's tummy. So some say that that's where that minhag developed from. So again, it wasn't a shver part, the whole thing is shver, because we have a warlike Kohanim as man as a duchen, and they're tummy anyway. So to say we're not going to duchen on a Shabbos, they coincide with the Yom Tov, is very, very difficult. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva, that even according to that minhag, that we shouldn't really be observing anymore, that minhag of not duchening on Shabbos and falls out of Yom Tov. So Rav Moshe writes that if it's Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos, Avad, you should be duchening. Why? Because then the whole reason of that minhag doesn't even exist. The whole reason was to make sure that the husbands won't refrain from being with their wives. So we make them, we tell them that Achim Duchen tomorrow. Here, he's not going to be with his wife anyway. It's Yom Kippur, he's not allowed to be with his wife. So here, forget. Here, he went to the mikveh of Yom Kippur. Everyone's Torah anyway. And it comes time for davening. He's like, Mechatei, so you shouldn't be duchening. So Moshe writes, even according to that minig, which probably could be a minig betos, even according to that minig, on Yom Kippur, you should for sure do it. Then there's another reason that's given for that mistaken minig, that maybe they were afraid that if you duchen on Shabbos, people are going to say all the hiratzons, all the rebbeinu shloms, all the tchinas on Shabbos, which is a terrible thing to say. Such a terrible thing to say. Even that's not so posh. What's so terrible about that? There's a machlekes of Avi and Rishalmi. Is there an issue to have bakashas and tchinas on Shabbos altogether? So the Bavli says in the Seches Brachas that you're allowed to daven whatever you want on Shabbos. The only reason why we don't say a full Shemoneh Esrei is b'shem tirchah d'tzibur. But if people are in a rush to get home to go to do what, I'm not sure, but people are in a rush to get out of shul. So therefore Chazal knocked down the davening a little bit, but it's not really awesome to say tchinas on Shabbos. So according to the Bavli, that's the reason why we're not duchening, is because they were going to say the yiratzos. That's the whole reason why. So Rav Moshe writes that even according to that reason, that's the reason for that strange minhag, on Yom Kippur Chas B'Shabbos, it doesn't make any sense. Because Yom Kippur Chas B'Shabbos, we daven everything. We say, Allah Tachinas, Allah Bakoshas. People are crying all day Yom Kippur, even when it's on Shabbos, and ain't paid to pray with Tzavtzit. So it's a strange minig that we have. We daven everything under the sun. We say, Allah Slichas and everything on Yom Kippur. But the Hiratzels, the Rivan Shalolums, and Viraskan, we leave out. So, Mamar Sisri Tar, it's hard to understand where that comes from. Anyway, I'll go upon him. This minig really is not followed as much as I think. If I'm not mistaken, when I was a kid, I think I still remember this minhag being followed. If I'm not mistaken, I think one of the shuls we used to daven at did not duchen on Shabbos coincided with the Yom Tov. But this is, I think, did anyone see this? No, not as that. This minhag is pretty much formed by the wayside. When we speak about duchening on Yom Tov, so although the Ramah quotes the minhag only to duchen by Musaf, so as you said correctly, but the Yekis, so they duchen Shachris and Musaf as well. Not only do they duchen Shachris and Musaf, but they duchen on Yom Kippur, they duchen by Ne'ilah also. Which makes a lot of sense, because it was Manah Mishnah, it was Manah Mishnah, the Mishnah of the Pharisees, so they duchen by Ne'ilah. Though in Eretz Yisrael today also, they try to duchen by Ne'ilah. The only problem is, when you duchen by Ne'ilah, you run into a potential problem, because you're not supposed to duchen at night. Even though it doesn't say that explicitly in the Gemara, it says it in the Yerushalmi. The Rishalmi has quotes to Machlokes that appears in the end of Masech HaZum and the Bavli also. When is this man to say Ne'ilah? One opinion in the Gemara is that Ne'ilah is man of Alayla, and one opinion is man of Ayoyim. You're supposed to say Ne'ilah basically be a Yom, and one is he saying Alayla. So we pass in Mikra that Ne'ilah is Bayom. That's what we say it Bayom, when we finish Yashmur Esa Bayom, and we start the Chazas HaShaz, we get the bulk of the Chazas HaShaz to Bayom. Then we just finish off at the end. So we pass the Mikra Dinis Bayom. So the Rishalmi brings a raya that it must be Bayom, because the Mishnah records the practice of duchening by Ne'ilah. If Ne'ilah would be said by Laila, it's taught Ne'ilah after dark. So then how can you duchen? You can't duchen at night. So there's no Baal that it says that. The Rishalmi is like, state, you're not allowed to duchen at night. Why can't you duchen at night? Because it's like Avodah. It's a certain similarities to Avodah. So you're not allowed to duchen. So the Maharil somehow didn't have this practice, maybe held with the Bavli disagreed, whatever it was, and my real quotes that the practice in Germany was that they used to duchen at night by Ne'ilah, they would duchen at the end of Ne'ilah, there was an hour after Shkia, they would still be duchening. So many poskim were very, very opposed to that practice. So this was a very charged topic in Germany 150 or so years ago. I found that this is the way the story goes. I don't know how true it is, but this is the way I've heard the story, that when Rav Shimshon von Hirsch came to be a Rav in Frankfurt, so he couldn't approve of that custom of duchening and Meilah, and the other, because he felt that they were duchening at night against the Ferish and Shami, against most Poskim, but he didn't want to change the minute totally, so he insisted that they start Meilah much, much earlier. So the problem is, you start Meilah much, much earlier, then you get the duchening by Shkia. What do you do afterwards? You can't blow shofar, you can't tell people to go not my need. So what are you going to do? So the way the story goes is that he said his Ne'ilah drasha then. Then instead of speaking before Ne'ilah, so he gave his pre-Ne'ilah drasha as opposed to Ne'ilah drasha. So they finished Ne'ilah by Shkia, and then he spoke for a half hour afterwards. One can only begin to sense, you know, a little bit of a letdown. You know, Ne'ilah drasha, that's like the rabbis, you know, that's like the most important drasha the entire year. You know, when you say you have to be already finished davening, what are they going to get excited about? To say Shema Yisrael, to say L'shana Bav Rishonah, not Maya, what are they excited about? So it apparently didn't go over too well. I asked one of the people here from Breuer's about whether they knew that story was true or not. They said they weren't really sure that story ever happened. I don't know, machlokes whether this happened. But I can tell you that in Kerem Yavne, that's what they used to do. They did Adishim as well. So not that they would have a drasha, but they would. Anyone been in Kerem Yavne recently? So they still do that. They rush to say Duchening before Shkia, and then they say the Avinu Malkeinu. Yeah, they raise the Avinu Malkeinu for 25 minutes. Yeah. The good news is that Pirush Marsh is shorter than actually all it is in Germany. Germany take you 3 hours to say a long Avinu Malkeinu. But that's what it's based on, because they don't want to lose out. They don't want to lose out. Anyway, so whatever it is, a lot of different reasons that are presented in the earlier post and the later post, to try to explain away this minute, we don't really understand it, but we follow it anyway. It's Yaduah Mufursim that the Gura was very opposed to this minute, and the way this story, I don't know. Again, also a story, I don't know whether it happened or not, but the way the story goes is that the Gro wanted to change the minyan, and he announced that in Vilna tomorrow and his minyan, that they're duchening on a regular Tuesday morning, and I'm sure you forget this old minyan. Again, the way the story goes is that the shul burnt down that night. Yeah, I don't know whether it's true or not, so they asked the Gro the next time, you know, what we're going to do next time, so they said, we're not going to duchen next time. So they asked them, why not? Against the Gemara in Ramatzi, Lom Shemayim, you can't pass the Shala based on Isis. So the way, again, this is all pure legend, so the way the Gura apparently answered was, is that no, he still thinks he's right, Lom Shemayim, you have to duchen, but just because he's right, all the shuls of Vilna don't have to burn down. So he's afraid to do it again. I don't know what's true. Okay, good, thank you.